Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Bradford Show.
That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford.
That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradford Show. That's delicious.
Interview with Red Sox pitcher Steven Wright. You know he had been suspended for 80 games. He's eligible to come off the suspended list, which he was on for growth hormone releasing peptide 2, performance enhancing drug, since March 6th. He's eligible to come off on Tuesday, which is going to be big news for the Red Sox, big news for Steven Wright. He hasn't really talked at all since that suspension. What went down? How that affected him, how that affected his team, how he addressed his team, what it means for him going forward is a lot to pick through when it comes to Steven Wright's return, what Steven Wright has gone through. Steven was nice enough to sit down with the Bradford Show and go through it. Very, very honest conversation, one that you're not going to want to miss. Once again, thanks to our good friends at Lord Hobo for sponsoring us. Everyone go over to the brewery over in Woburn. Big things coming. Big things coming in this podcast. We had Mookie Betts, Brian Bannister, Mike Napoli, and now the exclusive interview with Steven Wright. A lot to get to in this interview, so let's get right to it. Steven Wright, Boston Red Sox pitcher, here you go. All right, we're graced with the presence of Steven Wright. Steven, good to see your smiling face.
It's good to see you, man. Oh. It's nice to be seen.
Yeah, well, we're going to see a whole lot of you pretty soon here. So a lot been going on, and so we wanted to get together, and the last time we saw you really was, it was probably the late February, early March, and then obviously you get suspended. And what I wanted to talk to you about was sort of the path since then. Starting when you find out about the suspension, and then your existence in Fort Myers, your existence around the team. I guess where one of the things I wanted to start with, Cora was asked about this the other day, about you addressing the team. Said you did address the team, correct?
Yeah.
How was that difficult? Or
I mean, I think it was probably one of the most difficult things, you know, you ever had to do, because, you know, I'm a big believer in clean baseball. I've been a big advocate pretty much my whole life about, you know, the drug testing policies, and I never thought in a million years that I would be on the opposite side. But it's something that I probably should have done earlier. But, you know, kind of to sum up what I kind of, you know, told the guys, which I like to keep most of it private, was just like, it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to get told. You know, it was like, you know, the fact that you find out that you tested positive for a banned substance, you know, is probably, it's heart-wrenching. You know, it was I've been told a lot of terrible news in my career, and nothing tops that, you know. And I feel like the respect and the love that I have, not only for the organization, but for my teammates. Like, we have a great thing going with Boston. You know, Alex is obviously, you know, leading the pack. But, I mean, we have a great group of veterans. We have a great group of young guys. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I needed to at least get up in front of them and kind of explain to them what happened, the process, and tell them my apology for putting them through that, because I know a lot of guys had to answer a lot of questions that they don't need. It's a distraction, you know. And that's the one thing I've always advocated my entire career is, don't be a distraction. You know, I want to just go out there and just play baseball and go home. You know, like, I don't want to be in the center of attention. I don't want to be a distraction. I kind of just want to be present, you know. And when you're a distraction like that, it affects everybody, not just the players, not just the staff. It affects Dombrowski. It affects Raquel. I mean, it affects the minor leagues. It affects the strength coaches, because everybody's going to be asked about that, you know. And it's something that I never, ever would want to put on anybody, and I just felt like, you know, it was my duty to at least give them a somewhat of an explanation.
Did you feel like after you finished that, probably wasn't an immediate weight off, but did you feel it was effective, or do you think you know, they say, okay, this is going to be a work in progress?
I think it's always going to be a work in progress. I think, you know, the respect is going to have to earn back. The trust is going to have to be earned back, you know, and that's something that I, you know, advocated, that I'm going to spend the rest of my life, you know, earning the respect back, not just from them, but anybody that it has affected negatively, which is everybody that I know personally. But I really think that the vibe was like, at least, you know, I got up there, I talked to them. You know, there were some questions that were asked. I tried to answer them as best as I possibly could. And I told them again, I was like, if anybody ever has a question about anything, I was like, I'm an open book to them in private. I definitely don't want to get too public with everything, because, it's a family, you know, and I feel like that has to stay. There's certain things that just need to stay within the clubhouse. But I felt like it was a definitely big weight off my shoulders. But it was hard, man. I mean, it was probably the hardest thing to do is to get up there and talk about something in that nature.
And then, so, you know, then I don't know how really it worked. I mean, next thing you know, we really didn't see you around a whole lot. And this was early March, right? Mm-hmm. And so how does that play out after?
So, you know, I found out that I had the banned substance in my urine like December 27th. Mm-hmm. You know, and I go through the whole appeal process and all that. And then when they told me that I did not win my case, the rules, I don't know verbatim what it says, but the team has the authority to send me to the minor league side, which I was fully expecting. I wasn't caught by surprise at all, and I was actually expecting that, you know, because it's, like I said, it's a distraction to have me there every day, and I don't want to take reps, and I don't want to take table time from the trainers, because I know wasn't going to be able to help them for 80 games. And so they just, you know, they called me in, they said, we're going to send me, so I literally just did everything just on the minor league side, and I just kind of stayed there when the team left.
And why, you know, amping up to that, the moment where we found out, you know, we were focused on your knee, right? I mean, we were focused, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you had, even then, you know, I remember, Steven, like, that when we talked to Dombrowski, when we talked to Cora in the offseason, you're talking about the end of the bullpen. It was Brazier, Barnes, Wright, and Thornburg. Yeah. Those were the four guys. And heading into spring training, we kind of figured, okay, you know, you're on your way. You've had your time. But the knee was a little balky even at that time, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was, you know, I had a pretty extensive clean out, you know. It wasn't just your typical go in there and take some stuff out. I mean,
you're talking about in the off season?
In the off season, yeah. Okay, November 11th, I had my knee surgery. I had a scope. But, you know, there's a lot of scar tissue, they did a lot of work in there. They were in there for a little over an hour trying to, you know, kind of clean it and getting up to the best is my ability. And it was one of those things that, you know, I wanted to make sure that, you know, and the team wanted to make sure that everything was going to progress right. And it was a slow process. And, you know, and not to lie, I mean, I kind of had an idea that I was going to be suspended and it was, and so I was like, I kind of knew that it's like, I don't want to push it too hard, because if I don't want to have any setbacks through the suspension process, you know, but at the end of the day, like, I felt it was really hard, because I knew guys were talking about that, and I knew going into spring training what was going to be expected of me.
Talking about your knee.
Talking about just playing, without the suspension.
Oh, yeah,
But I knew in the back of my mind that there was a very high chance that I was going to be suspended. Right. And that was the one thing that hit me the most, was the fact that I knew that there was a very good chance that I'm not playing, and yet I was going to be expected. So, like, that was another reason why I wanted to address the team, because I let a lot of people down, including Dombrowski. And I, you know, apologized to him, you know, and it's just words at some point, because of the fact that I got to go out there and I got to earn his respect back. I got to earn his trust back. Mm-hmm. And same with Alex and everybody else's, because they were expecting me to be help, you know, whether it's going to be spot starting, whether it's going to be set up, long relief, whatever my role was going to be. They were counting on me to do that, and I wasn't there.
So they didn't know till February.
Honestly, I don't know the exact date, but it was like once I knew around my appeal time when it was, you know, I wanted to tell Dombrowski right away, you know, and it was one of those, like, because the process and everything that it was like, all right, I had to wait because it was more like the appeal and the sample B and all the how the testing goes. Mm. And so I honored that. But then once I knew that I was, you know, having an appeal process and I knew my date and everything, I went up and I told Dave, you know, and he.
That was when about, you think?
I don't know, maybe 2 weeks. I don't even know. Not even 2 weeks. Probably it wasn't much further before I found out.
So like February, middle of February.
Yeah, I don't even know when I found out, to be honest with you. But it was about like 5 or 6 days before.
Okay. And so you go to the minor league side, and so living that existence throughout March, it must have been probably tougher than even like, let's say, April, because guys are around, right? It's a little awkward.
I kept my distance, to be honest with you. It was intentional, like, because I know a lot of guys were pissed off, you know, and I respected all those guys, and I told them, all those guys, that I'm like, I respect you, like, you know, but and it was as cordial as it could be, you know. It wasn't no disrespect to anybody, like, nobody was mean to me, everybody was still, but it's like, I didn't want to be in the way, even on the minor league side. Like, I told the guys, I was like, I want the times where nobody's going to be on the table, I want the times to where, you know, I'm not going to be in the way, because these guys are getting ready to go out there and perform, mm-hmm. and I know that I'm going to be down here. Mm-hmm. And the team was great about it. Like, the team, like, the my times, and that's kind of why I wasn't really seen. It was because I was always going in the off times, because I wanted to make sure, and that's what I specifically told, you know, the trainers on both sides, and they were, and Brad Pearson was great about that with Jamie, and they were like, okay, that's fine, because I still was working with some of the trainers, you know, and they were kind of like transferring it over to the guys that I was going to be working with Kevin, down in Fort Myers. And so they did a really good job, because I was like, the last thing I want to do is be on the table when somebody else that's going to be breaking camp or fighting for a job needs the table. And so, you know, that was kind of the process of me being on the other side, is like, just stay out of the way, you know.
So what do you do in April? Like, what?
I just stayed in extended. I just stayed in Fort Myers. I'm not sure the exact rules on if I could have gone home or not, but for me, like, I wanted to work. I was making great gains with my knee. The training staff down there was phenomenal. The communication between, you know, Jamie and Brad and Dr. Asness and Paul and those guys up in Boston was great, with the guys down in Fort Myers, Dave, Eric, and Kevin. And, you know, same with the strength and conditioning. And to me, it's like, you know, like, at the end of the day, like, I did it to myself. You know, I put myself in a position to get a banned substance. Like, I don't know exactly how, but I messed up. So it was like, it's on me. So, like, I didn't want to, like, think that I can just go home and hang out. Mm-hmm. I wanted to stay there and work, you know. And I'm glad that I did, because, you know, we made a lot of gains. We were able to kind of slow things down a little bit, because knowing that we had 3 months to work on it. And I just stay down and just continue to basically work out and get ready.
How about you, when did your – it seems like so far, knock on wood, your knee's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never going to be 100%, but it's a lot better than it was, and it's able to you're able to perform on it.
Yeah.
When did that sort of take a turn for the better, I guess?
Knock on wood, like you said, I mean, it's been pretty good, like, the whole time. Like,
really?
We've kind of, you know, we kind of revisited the workouts, the running. Like, the only time I run is on the field, fielding my position, which I'm able to do. We didn't do it a lot down there, but we made sure that I could do it. I mean, obviously, I need to be able to back up bases and cover first and bunts and stuff like that. But, you know, a lot of my cardio is on a stationary bike or on an elliptical. My lifting has been pretty precise on what I can do, because the biggest issue that I had last year was infusion. Like, my knee just kept swelling. And so that was – obviously, when they went in there to for the scope of it, they had reasons why, and they knew why it was infused. And so for this, you know, this time was just like, you know, minimal. You know, face it, I'm a pitcher. You know, like, what – you know, what do I really need to run for? I don't need to, I don't need to jump.
This isn't like Pedroia. I mean,
it's not like Pedroia, you know. And it's like, it's one of those things. Like, I don't need to go every single day and run down baseballs. And that's the thing with being a position player, is that not only are you doing it on the field, but then you got to go to the plate and you got to turn on a fastball, and puts a lot of torque on the knee. Mm-hmm. Then you got to run, and it's like, and you got to do it every single day.
Yeah.
You know, I got to stand there and throw a baseball, you know, and it does put a lot of force on my knee. But it's not as much as a guy that's going out there and running and cutting. Like, I just don't cut that much, you know. And so it was literally like all of us, you know, between the medical side, the trainers, the strength coaches, myself, the pitching coaches with Dana, and we all kind of figured out, okay, what do I need to do? What are my necessities? And it becomes more risk versus reward. Mm-hmm. You know, like if it's a high risk but low reward, all right, we're gonna nix that. You know, if it's a low risk, high reward, that's what we're going to do, and we're just going to, you know, be religious about that.
How have you, since you pitched in games, you look at back at the numbers last year, and I keep saying this, I mean, this is, you were really, really good. Yeah. You're really good as in that role. Do you feel the same? Do you feel like you're better? Do you feel like, how do you feel?
It's hard to say. I mean, it's I'm still obviously working, because the hardest thing is, like, yeah, I had a lot of time off. But a lot of it was still rehab. Mm-hmm. But I feel pretty good right now. Mechanically, I'm getting better. I feel like every single day. And it's really hard to say. It's been a long time since I've been in, you know, in a big league game.
Yeah.
You know, and I, like, every day I've come out here and I'm working, like, that's one thing that, you know, I've never stopped doing, and I don't think I ever will for the rest of my life, is I want to try to work. You know, I like working.
Listen,
out.
I mean, it's, you've come a long way. It's forget this.
Yeah.
Like, your story is a good one in terms of how far you've come from the time you were a shortstop or whatever you were to pick
catcher,
up a knuckleball. A catcher,
So that's, like, for me, like, I feel like I can always get better. You know, I don't feel like I'm ever going to be good enough, you know. Yeah. And I think that that's something that has helped me get to this point and keep me here, is because I know I can always get better. And that's what I'm going to continue to do, you know. And to say that I'm ready, I mean, I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I won't know until I actually get out there and start doing it.
How has this 3 months changed you? Has it?
It has. I mean, it made me appreciate, you know, just the game. It kind of helped me slow things down, put a lot of things in perspective. You know, and it's just one of those things, like, this game, it can come and go faster than a lot of people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you know, it's just like, I got to be a little bit more accountable on what I do, a little bit more careful, so to say. I mean, I was always a type that, like, I never wanted to do anything illegal, but I wasn't really cautious either. Like, I wasn't, like, you know, which I should have been. Mm. And obviously now with the banned substance list thing coming up in my urine. But I think at the end of the day, it's like, it just made me kind of get a little bit closer to my family, a little bit closer to my faith. And it just really helped slow things down for me, because and learn that it's like, I still have to go out there and be accountable for what I did. But at the end of the day, it's like, I can't change it now. Like, I can't look back and say, oh, man, I should have done this, or I shouldn't have done that, because what's done is done. Mm. All I can do is prepare for today, and when tomorrow comes, I'll be prepared for tomorrow.
So as we're talking, you're sort of on the cusp of rejoining the team. Are you nervous at all? I mean, nervous, it can be different levels of nervousness in terms of nervous about pitching, nervous about walking in that clubhouse, nervous about all of it. Are you nervous?
I mean, I'm always nervous, but yeah, I mean, I'm definitely nervous, man, because when you're away for as long as I've been away, it's one of those out of sight, out of mind type things, you know, and it's still, I'm going to go back into a clubhouse that I have to earn the respect of those guys, you know, not just, you know, Chris Sale and Rick Porcello and DP. Like, I have to earn the respect of all of them, the staff, the strength coaches, everybody, you know, and it's one of those things that I'm going to just go up there and I'm going to try to do it as best as I can. You know, I still got to get my work in, but at the end of the day, like, yeah, I'm nervous. You know, I've been looking forward to this day for a long time, but at the end of the day, I was like, it's almost, I wouldn't say I'm scared. I was like, but there's a lot of nerves, because there's a lot more that comes into just, oh, I'm going to go back to the big leagues and pitch. It's not that simple. It's not like I'm getting called up, you know, like I'm going back into a situation that I've ruined for myself. And so it's like, now I got to try to make it better. And I think the only way I can do that is go up there, you know, do my best, you know, hopefully be successful, And then hopefully over time, things will get back to, you know, as close to normal as they possibly can.
So now I ask you the nervous question. The excitement, the excited question is also part of this whole
absolutely
thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you're getting to go back to play Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's I think there's a lot of emotions that go into everything, you know, not only for myself but for my family, because it's been hard, just as hard for them as it's been for me, trying to explain to a 6 and a 3-year-old why we're living in a hotel and why we, you know, we can't be in Boston at Wally's house. You know, we're at Paws and Sox's house, which they enjoy just being with me, but they don't understand like why we can't stay in Boston, you know. So it'll be nice to kind of get back to a somewhat normal life for them as well. But yeah, it's exciting. It brings a little bit more normality to our lives instead of all this traveling. But you know, I think there's so much emotions that go into it, it's hard to kind of pinpoint. But you know, I'm always nervous no matter what I do, no matter what situation I am. I was like, that's just my persona. But yeah, I think there's excitement, nervousness, and just like, I mean, I'm thrilled to be able to get back and to play Major League Baseball.
Well, there you go, to get to go to London, too. There you
yeah,
go.
I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, that's something that I look forward to when they announced it last year. So
you and me both.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, listen, I know it's been a journey for you, and I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, anything
always
for
good
you.
To talk to you.
Anything so. For you.
Thanks, man. All right, thanks.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.